Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your host, The Bagels,
Hello.
and Taylor B. Hi. We'd like to welcome you again to this installment of the Spinfoil Theory Podcast. As just a little housekeeping, we are sort of an advanced session podcast. That doesn't mean to say we're exclusive, but we just kind of expect the audience to have sort of general understanding of the topics discussed. We're not so much here to teach as we are to explore. But it could be worse. This week's topic is about the idea that Crota's throne world, or at least the entrance to his throne world that was on the moon, or Luna, as the celestial body is called, before Luna collided with Earth. Primordial Earth. So like pre anything history, like before the dinos, in millions and millions of years ago. So the theory is that Crota's throne world existed on a war moon or planetary body that real world science calls Theia, that collided with primordial Earth, and the sort of expulsion of extra matter from that collision is what would form Luna. And the sort of whole idea there is that when Crota is thrown back through the Vex Gate, he goes back far enough in time. The timeline for this basically would Crota gets thrown through the Vex Gate after opening the Vex and being pun opening the rift to let the Vex spill into the Dreadnought, really angering his dad. And getting flung back into the annals of time, to fight his way back and earn a place back at his father's side. So the real crux of it is a real world theory that we were just explaining, Theia, this primordial planet colliding with primordial Earth, and the expulsion of extra matter sort of forming the moon. So that's kind of a cool part of real world science. But we also know from the Books of Sorrow that the Hive, or at least like high ranking Hive, would use moons to traverse space. So there's a reference in verse, this is all from the Book of Sorrows. So verse 5:4, the Giffmast, Zebra Wrath, makes reference. She flies away on her war moons. After his and her throne world is barred shut. And then there's also in verse 4, 4:0, a golden amputation of wrath. To quote, "We beat the worlds of Tyshabeth like skull drums, and we howl in joy for our black war moons as they ram silver orbitals and gleaming star webs where infant Tyshabeth's sun ravens curl and die unborn." So that's also hardcore from that standpoint, that they were just like ringing in joy about killing space raven babies. That's a little rough. But so we know that the Hive have, and at least in multiple instances, used sort of war moons, and it sounds like a very like, I don't know, what do you think of the Bagels? It sounds like a very like one-way trip thing, like we're gonna ride this thing till it hits something.
It's kind of the impression that it certainly gives off. It's kind of like they just strapped rockets to it and see
Yeah,
where
or like cause something to like collapse a sun real quick. Like, all right, we're gonna like it's kind of like a deep space surfing.
go.
You're just like riding the wave the whole way. I don't know. That's a little zen for the Hive, but I like the idea that like they just like blast something in like a general direction and hope for the best.
Pretty much.
Boom. Because we do know they have some big cannons and piston technology from the Dreadnought. The thing about it being like Crota's world specifically is because Crota, in as far as we know, that's been recorded or alluded to, Crota's the only Hive that's been sent through a Vex time gate, or at least the only high level
Ascent.
Hive, yeah, ascendant Hive, who's been sent through a time gate. Because I imagine that, I guess there had to be other Hive that got sent back with him if he waged war, unless he was doing it all by himself.
Yeah, we know that when Crota and his sisters were fighting the Vex in that that tear in Oryx's throne world. We know that they were sending Hive through, but they were getting slaughtered by the Vex at that point
right.
in time.
Right. So yeah, it goes on that. So he has this very unique thing where he got thrown far back in time and had to really like fight his way back to, I guess, the present? Or I'm not sure like when he links up with his dad again. I guess it'd be weird if there were two Crotas in the court, so he's got to wait till at least he gets thrown. But, well, that would be weird. You just, like,
sure.
show up like a stronger version of yourself. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
The classic paradox type of situation going on there.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that would be... Yeah, I don't want to think about that. For the purposes of this theory, that did not happen. let's put that out there right now. So it's just... The moon is a little unique too. It's as we've learned with this last expansion and in this last season, the moon's been touched by the Traveler. That's why it had the same gravity as Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And assume, but like, I guess not atmosphere. Like, I don't know. But we also know that it's heavily influenced by the darkness. Like, there is a big pyramid ship. What is that one? That's an isosceles pyramid, isn't it? Like the evilest of pyramids.
I think it's technically, isn't it the tetrahedron? Isn't that technically what it is? But
I feel like a tetrahedron is equal sided though.
I guess regardless. I need to brush that up on my geometry a little bit, but
yeah. But yeah. So yeah, sorry, like, anyone who's good at math who's, like, screaming at us right now. we'll happily add notes for any mathematical corrections that need to be sent our way. But it's unique in that, like, it's in very much actually the same way like the Awoken are unique. Like, it's been touched by both the light and the dark pretty heavily. And influenced by both of them pretty heavily. I mean, changing its gravity is, like, a big deal. But also, like, having your throne world and ship in the center of it, also kind of a big deal. And so I feel like that's just something just to kind of note before we go into the next cards here. So the next card is going to be the Ghost Fragment. This is back in Destiny 1 from Ocean of Storms 2. And it's basically, like, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because no one tuned in to listen to me read shit. It's basically saying, like, this guy gives some of the names to places we've been, like the Circle of Bones, the Chamber of Night, like what have you. But he sees these giant skeletons. And then also these, like, little, like, writhing, pulsating, tumory, like, worm things. And this is what he says, like, right before he's about to die. And this is from a Golden Age exploration team that's, like, digging around in the moon, just trying to see, like, what's in there. And they see some weird shit, and some of them start to get eaten by what appears to be either, I don't know, it could go Ahamkara, or it could go worm sort of god thing, like Xur, was that? No, not Xur, but
Zol,
yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Xur, you just have worms for face. But yeah, so, and that's happening in the Golden Age. We also know from the expansion, the diary, and the K1 stuff from the moon, that there's like a piece of darkness in there that ended up driving everyone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to, like, they started a... you know, doing AB hours to limit, like, exposure to it, but ultimately it just kind of made everyone melancholy, and, like, they were stressed when they slept. Like, it was like a really, really terrible situation for all of them. But then, like, sort of where I'm going with this is, where you have worms, you have Hive, because that's what they do. Like, I think we can see that demonstrably in game. Like, whenever we're going through a Hive den, there's little worms writhing on the ground.
Yeah. Pretty much
Yeah.
Pretty much any time we encounter the hive, there's always worms around, and so vice versa, you would think the converse would likely be true as well.
Right, because I don't think, except for the worm gods, I don't think we have any instance of worms existing without the hive around. At least not in Destiny.
Sure.
Yeah, so. You know, also that. Unless you want to be, like, super technical Ted and say, but Taylor, they were the krill when they got the worms the first time, so booyah.
Yeah, technically they did exist separate from the hive and prior to the hive becoming the hive. That's being a little on the nose about it, I guess.
Shallow and pedantic.
It's pretty clear that since the hive are present in our system, it's likely that wherever the worms are, the hive are nearby.
So, the next card I want to look at is the Grimoire card. This is also in D1 from the Ocean of Storms. And it basically, you know, there's a Chinese poem that I've never been able to read because I can't read Chinese. So if anyone listening wants to go in and like shed any light on that, I think that would be an awesome addition to this. But the rest of the card, it just sort of talks about this is where they came face to face with the Crota and his legions. They abandoned the moon because this force was so powerful. You know, his highest temples breached the surface and entrances into this vast necropolis that's apparently been existing below the surface of the moon for, I mean, even with space magic, even with corrupt space magic, I feel like they have to build stuff. I don't have any reason to think they can just like magic structures out of nowhere.
Into existence, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, and it wouldn't be the first time like a big structure went unnoticed by the Guardians. Like look at the Red Keep.
Right? And that's above the surface.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's above the surface. Like, how long has that been there? I don't know, man. I never even went over there. Like, I don't know. Like, we are as it, like, I think this confirms both search and rescue. I feel like the Vanguard on the whole, and this might be another, like, rabbit hole thing, but, like, they're just actually terrible at that. Like,
I think the Vanguard were aware of the Red Tower, at the very least. There's a lore reference to it being constructed, and we were just concerned with other matters at the precise moment that we saw it was being constructed.
That's true. All right, so at least then, there's proof that that they do have to build things. They don't just magic them into being.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the bones of the theory as best I can, because there's a lot of moving parts there, so I apologize if that wasn't the best description of everything. But the whole idea is that in Crota's personal timeline, Crota's born, Crota gets tricked, Crota gets thrown back in time, Crota fights his way to the present, and along the way, at least one of his war moons was what ended up colliding with primordial Earth. Possibly with a pyramid ship along with it. Because, I mean, I also want to point out, when you encounter the pyramid ship, it's, like, space is being occupied around it. It's not occupying space. It didn't, like, burst in there and crack open anything.
Correct.
So it's...
Yeah, there's no evidence of a collision or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just there, and we don't know how it got there.
Right?
Basically.
Right, yeah.
Which lends credence to the thought process that it was there prior to Luna existing.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and for whatever reason, it's been dormant. For whatever reason. Like, I can't speak to that. But, like, at least for the purposes of this, like, it has, just because other stuff didn't happen. Then you cut to the Golden Age. You have crew teams digging around the moon, and they find worms. Cut to a different part of the same Golden Age. You have crews digging around the moon, and they find the darkness and its influence, and the sort of, like, sphere that I imagine is similar to, like, the Heart of Darkness. That's what I imagine in that, like, in that computer-looking
thing.
Yeah,
we don't really have a great reference for what the anomaly actually is. It's just some sort of... anomaly describes it best. Basically, it's a
breach.
Object or... it might not even be an object. It might be just, like, energy.
Well,
we really don't know.
Well, and then, well, we know there's other dimensions that the darkness weave through, like the throne worlds, right? So maybe it's just a breach into that. And you know who can cut breaches into stuff? Crota. Boom.
Crota.
So that's the crux of it. I really enjoy this theory. I think it's a lot of fun to kind of consider how far back the Destiny timetable can actually go, because of time travel shenanigans.
Right.
But yeah, the bagels. I've been talking a lot here. What are your thoughts, buddy?
So it definitely seems possible. And it almost seems likely at this point that at the very least there's some sort of trickery going on here. That the fact that the ship ended up on the moon somehow, we can't rule out a whole lot. It had to get there, and whether that's via Crota veering a war moon over to Earth, or what would become Earth, and basically setting up residence, or if somehow the pyramid ships, they can materialize within planets. That seems less likely, though. It seems more likely that the pyramid ships are deeply tied to the darkness, and the Hive are deeply tied to the darkness. And therefore, it seems likely that either the war moons, they require some sort of propulsion, either tied to the pyramid ships, or there's some sort of symbiosis between the Hive and the pyramid ship on the moon, the war moons. We really don't have a whole lot of evidence to other than our moon to say that it's for sure that the pyramid ships are required to pilot a war moon or anything like that, but it seems like there's at least some sort of tie-in between Crota's appearance on Luna and the pyramid ship.
I like that. I like where your head's at. So I have a thought about, speaking of pyramids, we all know that the Hive, like, commerce structure of consuming light is just one big pyramid scheme, yeah? So, I mean, I guess we always had, Oryx as the top, or I guess, who was Oryx's worm god? The one he killed?
Aka?
The trustworthy one, yeah. So, I guess we always assumed like he ha was it Akka's, like he was the new head of that pyramid, right? But now what I'm realizing is that like if there's this other like body of the darkness that seems to be like super powerful, seems to be able to make like its own hive, or like at least like take hive under its control. That maybe like there were, because there was a council of worm gods, so maybe that's just like another pyramid going up to these guys.
Okay.
Like
So
I'm thinking the whole picture was much larger than we had
okay.
originally like sort of looked at.
So basically the tithe goes in the original structure goes from the basic hive to ascended hive to Crota to Oryx to pyramids. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Well, yeah, because he didn't get rid of the other worm gods. Like they still have tithe, they still have a tithing system, and we know that because of Nokris. He started his own, and like his was probably more economically sound since like it was with like dead bodies.
True.
Like he didn't actually, he only had his. If you look at his system, it's actually really genius because it was only like two worms involved, his worm and the worm god.
That's fair. Although from what we know about their worms, or not from the worms, they if you start feeding them a colossal amount, they'll only want more and more. So even at that point, it would probably be still get to a point where it would be almost unmanageable, probably
Well,
even for Nokris.
I mean, I gotta tell you, like,
Theoretically.
Oryx, I think we can all agree, was way more powerful than Nokris. like ever was, even if we look at it strictly on lore based standards and not gameplay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, if his worm could get that big, I feel like Nagras could have probably had like a pretty good run, cuz like Oryx had been doing it for millennia and he seemed to like still be going strong. And I don't think like he could be as powerful as he was through his worm if he were putting it on a diet.
Fair enough.
So I really think, you know, there's a lot of like, how can I say this? There's a lot of like weird connections and weird things that I'm noticing when you think of Crota and or his spawn. And one, the moon, but two, also now the darkness and the pyramid ship. Like, because it'll be interesting to see when the next of the hive triplets show up.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we get Zivu-Arath or Savathun. I really, honestly, like, I think it would make more sense if it was Zivu-Arath.
I agree. Savathun, I would be surprised if we ever directly confront her.
Well, I feel like Savathun, like if we ever fight her, it's going to be at the end of we thought we were fighting this other person for a long time.
That could be too.
And then we finally figure it out, like, no, it's been this bitch.
It could be just a series of proxies, eventually just she cedes to us too. I don't think she would ever directly fight us. She would find a way to infiltrate and seed Discord, and eventually we might figure it out and execute her, sort of thing. I could see that.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, she lives off of secrets.
So, to add a little bit more credence to this overarching theory on Crota's throne world being on Luna / Thea, basically, from what I understand about throne worlds, they are cutouts of the ascendant plane. From what I understand about the ascendant plane is it's essentially a mirror of our world. So typically, the ascendant plane as a mirror, typically there are fixed points and that translate directly to our world. We can see that in the Dreaming City when we go through the portals. We see directly the same location each time we go through that same portal. Now, obviously, for gameplay purposes, that would make sense that we'd go through that portal to the Ascendant Realm. We'd see the same location every time, gameplay-wise. But it also seems to make sense that the Ascendant Plane would be a mirror as a result.
Ooh, that makes That makes so, some of the just to like comment on your point. That makes some sure. of the Ascendant what's it called in the Dreaming City? Like the Ascendant Challenge or whatever?
Yep, Ascendant Challenge, yeah.
Yeah, that makes some of those, because some of those, in like, it's not that I think they're like different places, but like those places are so different in the Ascendant Realm. Though I like, I agree with what you're saying, that because like there's, even in places where the structure of everything is completely different, you have like a statue that like maybe you used to get into the portal is now like something you use to get up to the top, like way up there.
Yep.
Yeah, So
you can see evidence that they're it's designed to be like it's almost like Stranger Things, where you have
the upside down
underworld, upside down, where it's just a reflection of what we experience or see in our world. So that said, the throne world is just a cutout section of the ascendant plane. So the ascendant plane or the throne world. Theoretically, it would be tied to a specific location. Now, if that location is traveling, say on Thea, and eventually ends up here, then that also lends credence to this theory that the throne room of Crota could have been on Thea / Luna all along.
Right, and we know Crota rejoins his father's court. I think before he, Well, yeah, because that's the whole point of because he after he fights his way back through history, he approaches Oryx again, and he's like, yeah, like I did the thing. So we know at some point he rejoins his father's court, so it's not like too ridiculous also to especially if the Hive are chasing the Traveler, to
Which they definitely are.
yeah, that's like 100% what their whole shtick is. Like and I've had people say to this idea in the past, like, yeah, but what are the odds? That'd be the most like perfectly executed plan ever, ever. And I gotta tell you, like, especially if you can have more than one entrance to a place. 'Cause I think one thing that's also kind of cool to note about the Throne Worlds is that they're bent to your will.
Very much
Like,
so.
you are in control of that Throne World so long as your will remains supreme. Like, you can do silly shit you couldn't do in the real world.
Absolutely.
And I think the Dreadnought is a great the Dreadnought, and if you ever go back to the Book of Sorrows, Inversion Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, he was like, yeah, I'm gonna basically fill this up with my throne world. Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the most violent creation of a TARDIS ever. The most violent one. So I think there's also something to be said of this could just be a piece of the original place that he bent to his will on this side. Like, that doesn't have to be. That couldn't have been part of his plan. It could just have been dumb luck that there was a door that opened there.
Sure.
Like, for as much as we know, like, maybe there was some kind of, like, plan to it. Maybe he was heading someplace and just got stuck there because he's an idiot. Maybe he got tricked into going there by someone who knew more than he did.
That's definitely possible as well. Savathun seems to be a step of everyone when it comes to the Hive Gods, just manipulating, especially Crota, into doing whatever she wants.
Well, and plus she's got Quarria. She has a taken Vex mind that figured out how to fight the darkness. At least like a little bit. Like maybe not win, but they figured out how to fight it, so that's kind of like like if you can make God bleed, like dangerous.
Yes.
Basically, if this were the Marvel Universe, Quarria is Whiplash. That's right. That's right. I took it to the MCU. Oh man. We have to do a Disney counter every time we reference a Disney property in the show.
Is this just so when we get sued later on that we just are writing out? We already have the number right here for you.
It was
We'll pay our
actually
mouse tax.
I feel like after a certain number we'll just have to make a drinking game out of it. And like they're gonna own like everything eventually, so that'll be a fun drinking game. That they can.
Hail to your mouse overlord.
Oh, I mean, now that he has access to lightsabers, I feel like there's no stopping him.
Clone troopers, they got everything, man.
Oh man, that's scary. I don't know how I'd feel about like a mouse with no shirt whose best friend is a duck with no pants leading an army of unstoppable clones. I think this theory has a lot of gas, has a lot of
There's
a lot of
certainly,
plausibility.
I would tend to agree as well. A lot more than I came into the day thinking of, feeling at the very least.
Oh
No.
yeah, it's yeah, the word when you word it you kind of have to be like, but hold on. Like, it's
Yeah, there's just a lot, too many coincidences to say that there's not some evidence of either hive activity or
darkness.
something connected to the darkness being there for a very, very long time.
Right? Like
And how does it
definitely.
get there is the
Yeah.
question.
Yeah, and there's no other mention of a hive. I mean, all right, I guess we don't know the timetable of Maybe we do. I'll double check that. But like, I don't think there's any record of a hive going further back, farther back than Crota.
Oh, I'm not aware of anything, anyway.
Yeah. So that's something to consider. All right, final verdict, the
I'm
Bengals.
gonna give this a significantly plausible. This
Ooh.
is like a this is like a 49 on the
Whoa.
plausibility scale.
49. I'm gonna go 55. Yeah.
Feeling fancy today.
Yeah,
Fancy even.
I just wanted an alliterative score, and here we are now. So this is what we are. Yeah, no, I think this is a very plausible, fun theory. I think there's a lot of wiggle room for it, and not to be actual like conspiracy theorist about it. It is a written game, and I think Bungie, especially now in the recent seasons, have shown that they are trying to use everything that they wrote and make it so even if maybe they didn't at first or maybe they wrote it for a different purpose, they wrote it for a reason, and that's why it's canon in the game right now.
Yeah, they're starting to tie things together.
Right.
It's we're seeing it in several of the recent lore entries.
Exactly. Exactly. So I really want to put out there to everyone that it's not that this is definitely the case, but I think there's enough things that would check off a yes box for this to be true that leaves it well inside the realm of plausibility. That's how I want to frame it, because I hate when people come out, with ideas and they're like, "No, this is facts."
No, this is definitely not a fact yet. It's just
Yeah.
a matter of where Bungie takes all this information that they've clearly planted seeds for.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where they go with it. If you crank it up to 11, the bagels, where how do you think how would you play it out? How would you like to see what would you like to see out there?
Oofta.
Yeah. No pressure.
I would assume that I don't think this pyramid ship that's within the moon has really any relevance long term. I think it's more or less like a scout ship, basically, or depending on how it ended up there, like in our theory here. It's unoccupied by anything that we can see. So my best guess is that this ship probably doesn't have a large scale part to play in the coming war, but I am looking forward to some major Rasputin offensives against darkness ships as they try to enter the system, and or maybe even just some psychological warfare to start with, starting next season. I could see that, where just like a few random ships start rolling in, and we're like, "What the heck's going on? Why is everybody going crazy?" sort of thing.
Well, if you look at the wall in Io, I think I showed you this picture, but for our friends listening, Rasputin's got a diagram, and it's the solar system. And out there beyond the Kuiper Belt is a celestial body, and it's the ninth one on this thing. I kind of see what people are saying, like based on the size of the other ones, like it's a little big to be Pluto, but like I don't know what planet it would be referencing. That's out there, but that's where the pyramid ships, the little red triangles are. So if that counts as the edge, or maybe like the whole of what used to be mankind's extended control of the system, they're at least on the edge of it. I think that by that indication.
At the very least, they're that close.
I would also add, because the moon isn't like the moon's big, but it's not that big, you know what I mean, compared to like other planets and stuff. So like for this ship to fit like sort of like well in the moon, but also like the moon still has room for all the other shit that's in the moon, I feel like, especially in some of those diagrams, like this week for the again the cutscene you get for the first clearance of the IO bunker with Zavala. Those ships look way huger in like because they're like closer to the size of the planet they're like coming in on.
It's pretty clear that it's that there's seemingly at least a mothership or multiple larger ships, and then a whole bunch of smaller ships.
All the same shape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like, it reminds me of the fact that it's like a geometric, just a geometric shape, as opposed to like a design reminds me of the Borg.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I would be, and by the way, I would totally be here for if they just gave us like a sphere as like a ship one time.
Like, I guess the Traveler you can kind of think of like that. It is kind of like a battle of geometric shapes in that sense. One side is the hauntingly
angular,
uniform, angular, triangular ships, and one side, other side, you've got the white
circle.
Yeah,
the orb, the sphere. Well, it always it makes me feel like it's corners versus curves.
Yeah, sure.
Like if the traveler gets a buddy, it will also have to be round. that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But watch out for any cubes that show up.
Right.
Yeah.
They've got their own agenda.
Yeah, they're gonna tell you resistance is futile, but I say run away. Like maybe. It's not going to be worse for you because you ran away. Like, it's going to be the same. But all right, man. Yeah, that's. I think this was a pretty fun topic. I hope we get to do more. Maybe even revisit this as things unfold. We can certainly add updates to topics we've done.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one that's definitely going to get continued on at some point, just because of the way the story seems to be progressing.
Should we do like a history of the world and just make this part one, but then, you know, we're not going to do part two for however long?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I like it. I like it. I think it fits the tone of the show. So I'm going to leave this in just so you guys are in on it. That's why it's called part one. We're going to be visiting this again later, very clearly. Just due to the nature of the subject matter.
Indeed.
So this is just a preemptive part one. To be continued, if you will. Any shout-outs there, sir? Any call-outs? Any words of wisdom?
Just horoscopes? Shout-outs to H2O and the group getting together last night and trying to manage our way through the IO public event, which is disturbingly difficult because nobody out of Airdrawians, but otherwise we were having a pretty good time last night. So
oh, you guys were doing the world event,
the public event. Yeah, the
yeah.
Yep, exactly,
the seasonal gym jam that we're doing.
Throw the balls.
Yeah. Oh, I think I still need to do a perfect one of those.
The Triumph technically isn't available for another couple weeks, from what I understand. That's why it's hidden.
Oh, so I might have done it already.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's counting until they actually make it unhidden.
Oh, I thought. All right. Well.
Yeah, because I've definitely done it as well, but they're just not counting it. I think until then.
Interesting. Well, that sucks for.
It does suck.
If I did it, and you who definitely did it, my shout-outs are going to go out to Focus Fire Chat and the Greater Lore Network. I think Guardians of Lore are on there as well. And Bearded Grizzly does his thing. And is it Manit? Anyone else that I'm forgetting? Sorry. But all of yous guys. Rhino, I think he's in there. But yeah, so all of yous guys, just a shout-out to you. Happy to be... happy to be a part of the network there. Shout out to people trying to stay sane in what this, I believe, is what they were calling the air quotes like worst week of isolation for everyone.
One hopes it's the worst week.
yeah, well, it's I think it's this is like
the week afterwards, isolation should start to show tangible effects.
Well, I positive effects. So even though we might have longer to go in this, like there'll start to be like hopeful news coming out. Like things should hopefully stop getting worse.
Sure.
If we did things right, so you know, stay home. if you have the opportunity, and thank you to all those people who were keeping us going and able to isolate like this, but who still have to work, taking a risk for us. If you would like to reach out to the Spinfoil Theory podcast, you can find us at Spinfoil Theory on Twitter, spinfoiltheory@gmail.com. The Spinfoil Theory podcast on Podbean. You can find me at This Is Red Leader, LITRE, all one word, on Twitter as well. Any place they can find you, the bagels?
All the above and...
Yes, actually,
on LFG.
on LFG, yeah, you're a big. For those of you who don't know, the Bagels has, I think, what might be one of the largest scores in Destiny. Like, it's up there. He's got every title, I think, ever.
No, I'm missing Unbroken and obviously the Flawless one, but yeah.
Oh, dude, you ought to go. Go for Unbroken while all the sweaty sweats are in trials. Just go freelance.
Trust me, they're still in comp as well.
yeah. Oh well, yeah. I guess I'm a big proponent of the freelance playlist.
Sure.
I think it's a lot more. I wish they had it like in Rise of Iron, where there's like every game mode had a freelance version. That made me happy.
The only issue is that it would result in splitting up of the playlist. I know why they haven't done it, and basically they just don't want to split up the player base too much.
I
can understand that.
I mean, it's just, but that's.
I know.
You're forcing people to have a bad experience. as I see it, because I think there's always a big complaint about getting romper stomped in any game mode, just because it's a six stack who can like are very well coordinated, and you were just trying to. You know, jump in for fun.
I'm not necessarily defending their thought process. I just know that's what they've stated in the past, that they have fears about splitting up the playlists.
Well, I mean, they did it before. And yet Destiny persisted, so...
I know.
But yeah, I think with that, we will sign off. Ooh, the bagels, I'm going to have to edit so much.
I know.
And this one, we wasted so much time just with stuff. All right, but with that, bye-bye.
Bye. Interesting, but fine. Just make and do with whatever I need to do.
Fast quarantines at Ridgemont High. I completely understand.
Pretty much.
I completely understand. It's times like this I wish I had a pool and a yard and a house.